coming up here every time. It doesn't get easier as you come up here. I know that's something I've realized. As every time you come up here, it's just sort of the same thing, but it doesn't make it always feel easier. I feel like it's just another step, and then sometimes it looks like it'll get easier the next time. Anyway, good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Before I do most of the introductions, I want to still bounce off of the song that Jane just did now. And this is a quote from Lauren Daigle, who's the one part of the songwriters and the performer of the song Come Alive. And she says that, "I came across Ezekiel 37 and it penetrated my heart. I realized that this passage is the answer, as the Lord has the power to breathe life into the dry places of our lives and our hearts. He can come and call those dry bones to be raised to life, just like the army did in that passage. What really stood out to me was that not only did God ask Ezekiel to prophesy, but showed me an intercession. Lord, ask us to intercede for our brothers and sisters when we see that they are fallen, and for them to not grow weary, but to stay steadfast and keep pursuing God's plans for them. Just stay faithful in prayer." And another part of it says, Michael, who is one of her songwriters, "And I prayed this whole, and prayed and wrote this song as a call to the church to not grow weary in the actions of those who may have fallen away from the Lord, but to press on in faith that in God's time it will be for our good and his glory." It's interesting to see what the purpose of some of the songs that we sing or some of the songs that are performed, and see what the context is and see how we can learn from them or see what was going on in their lives. Because we know that songs are not just something we sing to give praise, but also sometimes it tells a story, gives a personal testimony. And I think that we all know that song can be a very, very powerful way to spread a message. So, and back on to my normal spiel where I give my introductions and welcomes, it looks like that something I've noticed is when service runs a little bit long, even though we didn't have a children's story, we'd have quite a bit of sitting down. So I'm going to invite all of you to go up to the next person next to you, just get up and say hi and say happy Sabbath and welcome them. It's still not the afternoon, so you can still say good morning. But I'm actually going to give a little twist on this. If you can say something additional, like God loves you, or welcome to our church, that'd be great as well. So I'll give a couple minutes for that. Actually, I'm going to give you. Oh, did I turn that back on? All right, so we all feel greeted and welcome today? Yes. Amen. Do we have any visitors here this morning? So as I always say, when you are here, if you are a member of this church, you are part of our family. If you are a visitor, as in you are here for the first time, visiting for the first time, you are a visitor, and you're only a visitor today. And the next time you're here, you're part of our extended family. So do we have any visitors here? I know we have a couple, maybe some are shy to come up, but we're going to say welcome to you. Brother, where are you coming from and what's your name?
I'm Clifton.
Clifton, welcome to our church.
His name is Joel.
Joel, welcome to our church. As I say, for today, you're a visitor today, and the next time you're part of the extended family, the big family that we have here at Wayne SDA Church. Do you have anyone else? Do we... Rachel family, welcome to our church. As I just mentioned, welcome to the extended family. Okay. Well, welcome. It's the first time coming here, once again. Welcome to the family. Anyone else? Precious?
Mm-hmm. She can hear everything. I mean, she Mm. Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Okay. So I think that's it for greetings. It's actually a special reason why I did that for this morning, but we'll come into that later on. Another point I want to bring apart is these opportunities for speaking. A lot of people, sometimes they do it a lot. You know, pastor does it pretty much every other Sabbath. But these opportunities to speak are absolutely great. And I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. It reads, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." It says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So that's from the New King James Version. I'm just going to read the NIV version for better context. "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So it says there, being careful of how you live. So we're going to keep that in mind for another future part. So today's sermon, who wants to read me the title? It's in your bulletin. It's not up there. No, it's in the bulletin, not up there. Identity crisis. Who remembers what the sermon I preached last time I was here was called? Anyone? Any takers? Okay, it was called Identification Revisited, because I did the sermon previously as well. So, that last sermon, we talked about identifying yourself. How do you identify yourself? Also, how do you identify others? How do we identify each other? And also, how did we identify Jesus? We did that little activity about there was an item in the center, and was it more similar to the one on the left or the right? And we know we had a lot of mixed answers from that. And we know it had something to do with the different mindsets that we have, some of the opinions and some of the ways we grew up, and that controlled how we thought about that. So let's revisit one of the ones that I really skimmed over, and I think a lot of people do want to sort of talk about it, and that is identifying yourself. So this is a sermon for those who somehow struggle to be here or somehow struggle to see what place they belong in the world we live in. So not in this room necessarily, but in the world that we live in. And it's just reflecting on what life they're living outside these walls, or what life they want to be living outside these walls, and what distractions or what different influences that our environment has on us, and how that we identify ourselves in those different situations. But before we do that, I would like to have a word of prayer, so if I can invite you to bow your heads with me as I kneel. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity. Lord, we know that time is running short for your coming, and we know we have different messages to share, but Lord, we know there are even those in this room who are struggling, and those who may encounter struggles in the future, but Lord, we want to have this message to be able to present to them that you are there, and that you are going to help us through the different crises we have in our lives, and we know that you're going to continue to empower us and give us the knowledge to continue along this path, Lord. No, life down here is not easy. We know life is very beautiful, life that you presented to us, and we want to continue to remember that. So please be with me as I speak your message, Lord, and let them not see me up here, but see you, Lord, as we continue to learn more about you and share this word. Let it continue to be something that we have in our hearts. In wonderful name that we pray, amen. Okay, so for those who read the bulletin and read that the sermon is presented by Jan Kristak Bjannen, what is the first book that I tend to pull out right after I finish my prayer? Dictionary. And what do you think I'm going to, what word am I first going to pull out first? Identify. Wow, you guys are great. Just before I preface anything, even though I haven't taught a class in like a year and a half, I'm still in this professor-teacher-lecture mode, so if I start picking on you, it's sort of remnants of that, and I'm still in that mindset. So, let's see. I know that a lot of you did not turn off your cell phones when we were asked to. So I'm going to ask someone to actually Google identify. Or the AV team can do that as well. So I want the first link on Google for the definition of identify. Or identity, rather. I'm sorry. Okay. So that's one of the definitions. That's the one I believe that gives you as the default definition. If you go the further link down, that's where dictionary.com comes in. I'm going to read a couple of the definitions they have for the word identity. First is the state or fact of remaining the same one or ones as under varying aspects or conditions. So keep that in mind. The second definition they present here is the condition of being oneself or itself and not another. Okay. Simple enough. Number three, condition or character as to who a person or what a thing is, the qualities, beliefs, etc., that distinguish or identify a person or thing. And let's do one more. This number four, the state or fact of being the same as described, same one as described. Okay, so we have a couple definitions for identity. What do you think the second word I'm going to pull out is?
Crisis.
Okay, I'm actually going to go pick this one out because it's actually a really hard one to determine in that giant list of Google. Yep. So number one, a stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events, especially for better or for worse, is determined, or a turning point. Another one, number two, a condition of instability or danger as in social, economic, political, or international affairs leading to a decisive charge. And number three, a dramatic emotional or circumstantial upheaval in a person's life. Maybe we'll sort of integrate all the definitions we have for the two words. So we have four definitions for the first word and three definitions for the third word. Let's see what the different combinations we can come up with as we do continue with this sermon. So putting that all together, let's do one of the definitions. How many of us think that right now we are in a time of crisis? Okay, yep, I see a couple hands out there. So now we are at a turning point, or where the decisions that we make now are sort of going to be the turning point and are going to determine some of the things that happen in the future. So with that being said, I'm going to go back to that verse that I mentioned earlier when I spoke. That was Ephesians 5, 15, and 17. Can I actually have someone read that? That is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. Yes.
So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Be careful of how you live, not as unwise, but wise. I think that's it's a short sentence, but it carries a lot of weight because we only have one life, and sometimes the decisions that we make may or may not determine something that may happen maybe in the short term or maybe in the long term. So let's talk about living your life, like completely your life. Sometimes we talk about a life and we're like, how's your life? Well, my life is great. But what life are you talking about? The life that's in this room, the life that's back at my house, the life that's back in college, what in my social life, when I'm not in work or school or everything. Let's talk about that. But actually, let's talk about each of the aspects individually first. First, let's talk about being a Seventh-day Adventist. How many people, maybe not necessarily now, maybe in the past, have thought that the Sabbath was an inconvenience at one point of their life? Because I know I have. You know, there's a lot of things that we wonder when you come into the faith. Maybe you're young, you're born into the faith, and then you just wonder why things happen. Maybe you kind of went with it, but then you got older and like, why does this happen and why does no one else follow that? And sometimes we encounter those issues where you grow up, you realize you have a little bit of freedom, and then you just sort of lose some of the identity that you've had when you were younger. So let me read Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 and 8 through 18. It says in chapter 13, verse 15, "In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions." Verse 16, "Men of Tyre dwelt there also who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Verse 17, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day?' 18, did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." You know, Sabbath is sort of a touchy topic that we come to when talking to others who may not necessarily be an Adventist or share the same beliefs. You know, sometimes we even have that touchy topic amongst Adventists ourselves. How many people, I know students, there's a lot of students who are going to be downstairs today. Students, especially those who are either seniors now in high school or have already started college, what is one thing, I'm pretty sure you can come up with one thing, that was sort of inconveniencing because of the Sabbath trying to get into college? SATs. You know, sometimes it's what that simple test. It's like, okay, do I break the Sabbath to take the SAT on a Saturday, or do I go through that extremely long process to try to get it on Sunday? Because that test is not easy to get. Well, it sort of is, but it's really long. You have to keep following up and sending a paper registration to get a day on Sunday. And then sometimes people are just going to cop out of it and take the ACT, which just lets you click on it and take it on site. That's a completely different story. And we have those different aspects where one thing that everyone else follows, it's sort of hard to follow. It's just sort of easy to go along with that. But sometimes we struggle to keep our faith and just press on with the alternative that we need to go through. Students, we know there's a lot of those who do extracurricular activities that end up following on the Sabbath. Sports is a big one. Football season ends up happening a lot on Saturdays or Friday nights. You know, that happens quite a lot. How about those who work on business days, or especially work those 8 or 9 to 5 jobs and struggle to find some time to do something that you can only do on a business day or on Saturday? One example, go to the DMV, because it seems to only be open at really weird days. Or open during the business day and then like really weird hours on Saturday, but never on Sunday. Or shopping. Sometimes those who commute to New York City have trouble trying to find opportunities to go shopping for groceries, for packing their lunch, or anything like that. Actually, a fun one. I've wanted to get some new furniture for my bedroom, so I wanted to go to IKEA, but guess what? IKEA is closed on Sundays, the one in Paramus. Now, there are times where the Sabbath will appear inconvenient to us, and that sometimes in our lives, it is better to just not identify with what we want to identify because inconvenient for us, and just sort of identify with something else to make our lives a little more convenient. I like how this sort of tied into some of the people who were in the Sabbath school this morning where we talked about inconveniencing ourselves with what we want to listen to and what we don't want to listen to. But being in the Seventh-day Adventist church is more than just the Sabbath. What else does it mean to be a Seventh-day Adventist? Can I get some examples out here? Wow, we have a quiet crowd. Right, spiritualism. We don't want to believe in that, than that we have interactions with those who are dead. Anyone else? A mission that we have. What is our mission? Spreading the gospel. Daryl.
Tithes and offerings.
Tithes and offerings. Another thing that some of other denominations not share that.
Health.
What was that?
Health message.
Yes, the health message. A lot of denominations don't share that as well. Now, we have a lot of this that is part of our identity, but sometimes outside of the walls of this church, sometimes we don't want to listen to that because it's very inconveniencing to us. I have an excerpt from a presentation that Pastor Dr. Ted Wilson, anyone know who that is? He's a president of the World Conference, that I want to read. But before I read that, I want to say that what I'm about to say is a problem that we encounter in a lot of different churches, and it's not a specific criticism of the Wayne SDA Church, but it's something that you may want to consider. So Wilson has made a call for revival and reformation and the hallmark of his presidency. So I'm reading directly from the article they have. List a number of ways that he saw the devil seeking to destroy the Adventist church, including, one, inspiring a belief that reformation within the church means giving up unique doctrines so that it's easier for people to become Adventist. Now, in the Adventist church, we have a lot of beliefs that are very specific to our church, and only our church has what we say the truth. And I would just say it'd be easier to say, it's not easy being Adventist sometimes. Amen? Another point they have, using tradition and philosophy to destroy faith in the Bible. Sometimes we have something in the Bible we did not know about. We read the Bible and we're like, oh, I've never read the verse like that before, but we've always done it this way. You know, sometimes in your family, maybe those are celebrating certain holidays or having certain traditions that you realize go against the faith later on in the road. Now, is it easier to just sort of give that up, want to give up that part of your identity to continue doing that? Or is it easier or better to adopt the new belief? And we know that adopting a new belief, sometimes, you know, it's really, habits do die hard. Another one, urging people to move independently of the main body of the church. That's a tough one because we know there's a lot of decisions that are made in the General Conference that necessarily, or other conferences make decisions that not necessarily everyone else wants to go along, and it creates division amongst even the Adventist church. This one is going to be one that people are going to start telling me about. Advancing charismatic and Pentecostal music and worship approaches that focus on church members and those leading out in services rather than on the true worship of God. I am really happy that we sang the song Heart of Worship this morning. Does anyone know what the purpose of that song is? Focus on Jesus. I'm actually going to read the chorus. I believe I have it here. It says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Sometimes when we do our performances, this is why when my sister sings, I usually try to preface it by saying not to clap. Some don't realize, and sometimes they don't have the intention of doing that, but sometimes when you clap, it is trying to glorify the person rather than the creator that we are doing our praises to. So that's just the point it's out to make. This one's another fun one. Distracting people with secular activities such as competitive sports, the internet, the media, financial deals, and materialism. You know, this is a fascinating device. You can put your Bible, you can put all the readings of Ellen G. White on this. And so when you wake up in the morning, you can actually read your devotion in the morning, or you can check the score for that game you missed because you slept in and you woke up way past your time you want to wake up. Sometimes we want to use this and say that we want to use it to glorify God, do our readings, but sometimes a distraction. And I would know. I have three. Another point. Encouraging poor health habits and lack of respect for God's natural laws, thereby enfeebling the mind and benumbing the senses. So, as Hector mentioned before, one of the things that make us Adventists is we have the health message. We have lots of different readings, a lot of different resources on the health message. And sometimes, while it's not necessarily something that we bring up in the church and necessarily you would think divides the church, but it does divide the church in certain different ways when people have disagreements over health. And it's just something to think about because the health message is a part of what makes us the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Stirring skepticism about the veracity of the spiritual record of the origin of life and early history. Evolution. Isn't that like in every singular secular biology book at this point? That one's a tricky one, because how do you tell your kids something that they're being taught in school, and what you're supposed to be being taught in school is supposed to be the truth? And now if you're telling them that that's not the truth, then you're also telling them that math is also not the truth. And I wish that was true, but that's not. We all know about that story, so I'm not going to go far into that one. Edie mentioned about when we, spiritualism, so the next point is spreading spiritualism. That's the idea that we can communicate, or those who are dead can communicate with us in our lifetime. Meaning, if someone's dead, we always say that heaven gained another angel, but that's not necessarily what happens. And spreading that message, sometimes it's convenient for people to say that's what happens. It's an easy way to explain it to younger children, but we know that's not necessarily the truth. But we know that even that message is not necessarily a bad message. It's more of a see you later than saying, I'll see you in like 2 minutes and you're watching me. It's kind of creepy. Another one is, I forgot how to pronounce this one, promoting ecumenism, I believe it's how you pronounce it. Anyone know what word I'm talking about? Okay. Anyway, or cooperation and better understanding among Christian faiths with the unattainable goal of universal Christian unity. This is something that I actually encountered a lot in campus ministry. For those who don't know, I went to NGIT and I was part of a Bible study there. We had a really small group and we were not an official club because we didn't have enough people. Actually, we had enough people if everyone was from the same school, but we were from like 3 different schools. And therefore, we never had enough people in one specific school to start a club. Anyway, it was sometimes easier to just associate ourselves with InterVarsity, which is one club that's on campus, and all of the other Christian faiths. It's easier to join prayer groups because they can reserve a room. But we don't necessarily want to go that route. And now let me tell you why. It's really easy to fall or lead yourselves that it's okay to follow what they're following. And sometimes it's easy to, if you make some agreements or compromises when you're putting your group in their group, it's easy to make compromises on what you can and can't do. And that's a problem that I've actually encountered personally, but it's another thing that we can consider. Phil Wilson also mentions later down on his excerpt that you don't want to be inviting clergy from another denomination just for the same reason. We don't want to make any compromises in our faith. This article that I read from, or that list that we read from, is entitled Wilson says Satan trying to destroy Adventist Church. Like that's any news. Adventist president urges church leaders to stand by the Bible even if its teachings are scored as politically incorrect. So remember, we don't have an easy mission. And trying to identify, keeping ourselves with the identity of the Adventist Church is not an easy thing to do. Believe me, and we know that it's not going to be any easier. If anything, it's going to be harder in the future. So there's actually a couple other things I want to reference. Last week, for those who didn't notice, I wasn't here last week. I was actually in a campus ministry, assisting with a campus ministry program called The New. And the speaker mentioned something. Our program was entitled Get Up. It's the idea that we have a calling, and sometimes we're just sort of laying dormant in our workplaces or on our campuses, and it's time to get up and do something. One thing that he made a point of, and I sort of mentioned it with my analogy with 3 phones, those are mine, by the way, is that the world is, sometimes if Satan can't distract us with death or any other things, or he can't continue to bring us down with different terrible situations, he can at least distract us. And distractions are a very, very powerful thing. And we mentioned that in a couple of the points that Dr. Wilson made earlier. Also, in Ephraim's sermon that he had a couple Sabbaths ago, he says that there are a lot of preachers that have those feel-good messages, and sometimes we have that message that all you have to do is follow Christ, and it's going to be okay. If you sin again, then he'll just forgive it, and it's just easy to have that back door open. I mentioned that earlier this morning as well. We know that we have a lot of issues. We have an identity crisis. The idea that there are decisions that we make now, and the idea that sometimes it's hard for us to keep our identity because it's very inconveniencing to us living in this world today. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, and you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Let me read the New International Version, those who couldn't understand that one. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I'm actually going to read our scripture. I'm just going to read from verse 4 up down to verse 9. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on me will by no means be put to shame. Verse 7, therefore to you who believes, he is precious. But those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. Verse 9, one verse that a lot of people know. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Powerful words. And actually, I'm going to mix up the sermon that I was actually going to present, because I'm going to do something I was going to do at the end, or next, but I'm actually going to do it now. One thing that I don't actually know if you've noticed in my latest sermons, and I wouldn't call the last one part of that, because that was sort of a reiteration of an older sermon I've done many years ago. One thing I haven't done in a while was actually tell a very personal testimony, and that was for reasons that you may figure out now. I'm actually going to give a brief overlook of my personal testimony because I realize how time is going by now. So I'm going to first start back in high school. So for those who don't know, I was actually born in the area and lived in Wayne for pretty much my entire life. And then I've been attending the Wayne SDA Church for a while, but around, I think, 2005 until 2009, 2010, my family stopped attending church for various different reasons, but then we decided to come back again in 2010, around that time, maybe 2009, way back when. But back then is when we started coming to church, listening to some of the messages. In 2009, I was actually listening to Hope Channel and 3ABN because I found it very interesting, and we decided to go to the general conference session. Yes, it would be 2010. The general conference session in 2010, that was in Georgia. And at that point, we thought that it's probably time to come back to church. And so we did, 2010. Came back to church. We had a couple sessions, but there's a couple things that were going around in the background in my academic life. So in high school, actually for a lot of people who don't know this, I was actually a very quiet person, not as outspoken as I am now. Yikes, that was really, that was quite a time ago. So that was sort of a lonely person. I didn't really have that many friends. I didn't really talk to anyone. It was really hard to get associated with anyone at the time because I really felt pretty strong in my faith at the time. And a lot of the stuff that people are talking about or getting associated with are stuff that, you know, I didn't really want to associate myself with, but I did have that like sense in myself that I really kind of wanted to be a part of that, but I didn't. But one thing I did associate well was playing video games. So what my group was just people who played video games. We didn't really talk that much. We just played games. One thing that I did the following year, my sophomore year of high school, was join the marching band. But the one thing about marching band practice and certain games on football games is that they're done on Saturday. So while I did feel a lot like I belonged, I was in the section, it was great, we had parties, we had section time parties, but I know I had this lingering sense in my mind that something didn't feel right, and so that I was missing something, and it's probably my sense of faith that wanted to bring back to church. So that was in my senior year of high school. I decided to drop out of the marching band, and so I no longer attended the practices, and I kind of distanced myself. Well, I didn't distance myself. It sort of just happened from the rest of that group, because I made a lot of friends in that band, and then all of a sudden we sort of just drifted apart. But then I was back in the church. I started taking Bible studies with Marie, and we had our group. It was me, my sister, and the Victoriano girls. And I really felt at home, sort of as a family. You know, I got baptized about a year or so later. Great experience, although I did still, in my mind, in the back of my mind, feel like there was something missing. But I don't think at that time it was something that was missing. I think it was something that, even though I was part of the church, I sort of still wanted to be part of the world. But that really all started to change as I entered college. For those who don't know, when I applied to college, I applied to like every Adventist college that was relevant, that had my program, and got accepted to every one of them. And then I'm like, you need, before I got sort of got an acceptance letter, my guidance counselor's like, you need a safety school. I'm like, okay, NJIT. Got into that too. My assumption was I was going to go to one of the Adventist colleges. I was actually ready to pack my bags and go to Washington State for Walla Walla University, but I'm still here, clearly. And that was around 2012, and so we're starting the new term for the nominating committee. And that's when I was, at that time, nominated to be a deacon, and also I was doing some stuff in the church, we're part of the praise team, and that was fun and dandy. But I know I still had that lingering side in the back of my mind. You know, you're in college now. I know a lot of you who are seniors, maybe, or you're just starting college, you're like, yes, it's freedom time, and I'm out with my parents, I'm in the dorm and everything. I could take a, what was it? I think it's a 275 ride to New York City and do whatever I want, but I still never end up doing any of that, sort of, because I sort of felt at home. And at college, I was sort of that influence. I was joined, that's when I joined the campus ministry group, and that all felt fine and dandy. Fast forward a couple years, made a couple more friends in college, but started to try to bring them to our Bible study. Didn't work out so much. I was still just a member of that Bible study, but I didn't necessarily was a leader of that group yet. 2014, nominating committee, I was now nominated as an elder and communications director. At that point, I'm like, okay, I feel like I have a calling and I have a work to do. And then I really felt strong in my faith at that time. At that point, anything that happened in college, even if like my roommate is bringing his girlfriend in, or if something's happening and there's parties and everyone's screaming outside the window because it happens a lot, I felt really strong in my faith, and I feel like I was not bothered by that. But we know that in our lives, not everything keeps going your way. So in 2016 was when I actually became I was still an elder, but didn't get the position of communications director. And then I don't know why, but I felt really dark at that time, like I did something wrong. I think a lot of people were there for the communion service when I had that testimony up there. And yeah, that around that time, when I figured that wasn't going to happen, I felt really, really like I did something wrong, or like God's not making the way I want to go because something happened. I didn't feel as strong in my faith at the time. And sort of at that point, I sort of hated the church. And more importantly, I think I hated myself at that time. At that time, I'm like, I should have graduated by now, or I'm going to graduate, but I'm nowhere close to completing that degree. And I had that hard sense of, I don't know what I want to do. I don't think I can get through this. I can't pass Calculus 2 because it's a terrible course. I can't, I'm not going to graduate. I'm not going to pass with a CS degree. I'm going to have to switch to IT, and no one wants to hire an IT major at NJIT, and the church doesn't like me, and so I don't know what I want to do. And at that time, it was pretty rough, and I started to sort of distance myself from the church. That was around 2016 is when I started to sort of step away. I tried to do different activities with friends sort of earlier before the Sabbath ended. I sort of do other activities that at the time made me feel better, but I knew something was still wrong. And then at the end of 2016 was when I was planning on graduating, and I'm like, okay, this is going to work, and it's going to be awesome, and I'll be away from the church. I'm going to get a job, move away, do something else. So at the end of 2016 right now it's 2017, right? End of 2016, I failed both the classes I needed to graduate. And so that felt really weird because I also got an interview and they wanted to hire me, but I didn't pass my class, therefore I don't have my degree. In 2017, my friend was also going through a bit of a dark time, and so we sort of made the decision that we're going to look up. He's an atheist for all intents and purposes. And me and I still had what faith I still had at the time. I wanted to do something about it. I knew that God was still there. I knew there were blessings that were still going on. I don't know how I paid for a fifth year of school because I already exceeded my financial aid. So at that time, I decided that I'm going to do something in my life. First, I got the job, and they said, okay, we're just going to hire you towards the end of your semester. So that was the end of, or midway through this year. I decided I'm going to take my joy and my passion in inspiring others. A lot of things that sometimes we're missing in our lives, especially as young people. I know I've talked to some of you who are in here. You don't know what you want to do. That's totally fine. But it's one thing that a lot of people are missing is the inspiration to do something more than what they're doing now. Maybe they don't know, they feel like what they're doing right now isn't what they want to do. There's a lot of friends that I've actually been helping out, and I didn't realize they were like 7 years older than me, which is crazy. I'm like, you're 30-something? So that was something that I realized. And so coming to the point now, I think I'm back on my feet where I was at my spiritual high and my emotional high. I've gone over a lot of the depression that I had in the previous years. I don't really have that desire to break away from the identity that I hold here in the Adventist Church. And I don't really like thinking about that. For those who weren't realizing, I was tearing up a little bit before the sermon started because I was like, how do I word this? I don't really want to think about it right now. But that's sort of how the story goes. And I don't really want to talk. That's the reason I don't really talk about my testimony, because at the time of the previous sermons in the last couple of years was really a dark time for me, and that's why I don't really like to bring it up. And that's why I'm at this point now, I wanted to bring it up. And I want to have an appeal for the those in this room. I know there's not a lot of the younger ones in here, because most of them are downstairs being the big brothers, big sisters. For the high school students that are now, they transitioned from middle school into high school, maybe you're midway through your middle school, there are things happening in your school and you feel like you want to be a part of the crew, but you don't, you feel that there's something wrong, but you don't want to identify with yourself here at the Adventist Church and you just want to go along. Know that we're here for you. What they can offer you there compares to nothing that's going to be in heaven. Compares to nothing that's going to be that we can't offer you here. The blessings and the different opportunities that Christ gives you, the joy that he gives you amongst being a family here, is nothing compares to what comes out there. Same for those in college. You may think that you're striving for freedom. You may think that your parents are holding you back, but what is actually happening is that they're trying to protect you from the things that are happening out in this world. There is so much for college students that brings about controversy, whether that's evolution or whether that's the political issues that are happening. There's a lot of them right now that make you question your faith, that make you question yourself. You know, sometimes when you're failing in classes, sometimes you realize, I can't pass this. I'm not going to be successful. I'm going to be stuck in school. I'm going to drop out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to work at Burger King for all my rest of my life. Know that God has a plan for you, and he's not going to let you down. Something looking back now, that God has never let me down. For those who are in the workplace, you know, when I got a job, before I got a job, I thought that, like, okay, the workplace is easy because you just go to work and you come home. And then you realize when you actually have a job, you actually have a lot of responsibilities. Yeah, paying bills and taxes and everything, it's crazy. Another thing that I noticed, I'm paying my sister's tuition now, so a lot of responsibilities that end up going your way. And sometimes in your workplace, amongst your friends, amongst your relationships, even your adult life, now, you're going to encounter struggles. I want to know that God is there for you as well. You don't need to walk out of the barriers and be afraid of who you are in this church to really belong in the world. No, this is our temporary home. And once again, this is reversed of what I wanted to do. Did I have something else I wanted to say? We know that God has the ability to take those responsibilities off your shoulders. He knows that he has his own responsibilities for you. He's not going to let the world take you down. And we know that we want to continue to give everyone the opportunity to feel welcome here. You know, there's a thing I say about the visitors being part of our extended family. I actually mean that, because in this church, I honestly believe that we are a family. And we shouldn't be afraid to be who we want to be, who we are here outside. We should still be able to go out and be a family, not just feel like we need to be blood related to actually do family parties or anything, but actually just be a family because we're all brothers and sisters here in Christ's house. Another point I wanted to make, just so it might be a little bit of a tangent, is the mention I made about saying something additional to good morning is sometimes outside the church, when we talk amongst our brothers and sisters, we don't like to mention Jesus because we're outside in public. Let's not be afraid to do that as well. And that was another point that the speaker last week mentioned, was that maybe in the middle of your conversation with your friend from church, just outburst that, I love Jesus, and then go on with the rest of the conversation. You know, it's just the constant reminder that God is with us. I think the sermon has gone a little too long, but once again, one appeal that I do want to make, and I'm asking anyone to come up, is if you have any issues or any trouble or anything, don't be afraid to call a brother or sister here. Don't be afraid to call any the pastor or the elders. Our phone numbers are in the back of the bulletin. I'm just terrible at answering calls. Email's probably better for me anyway. And that is essentially that. Also, just another thing I mentioned before that I felt empowered in the church. Department leaders, there's a lot of youth in this room, so utilize them very well. Nominating committee, remember there's youth around here? I felt really great when Evelyn asked me that I was part of the nominating committee back in 2012. So remember to empower the youth that we have in this room. And to close off, we're going to sing, I don't have the right bulletin in front of me, 100 as our closing hymn.